So if you want to know how to die from diabetes, but have an awesome, delicious marshmallow, you take... So it's like Rice Krispie treats for the lazy.
Oh, gosh.
So
Rice Krispies are hard to make. I mean, that, I'm not sure why that's...
It's Rice Krispie treats for the lazy. So you take a can of sweetened condensed milk... And you dip the marshmallow in sweetened condensed milk, and then you dip it in Rice Krispies and eat it, and it's totally delicious. It's so good.
And that is how you die from diabetes via marshmallow.
And peep wars. Have you ever had a peep war? You put them in the microwave, you put little toothpicks inside each one, and then they expand, and whoever pops the other peep first wins.
I'm gonna do that, because I hate peeps.
And I love peeps.
Oh, I love me marshmallows, but peeps are, for some reason, I've never liked them, and I think we actually still have some left over from Easter, so I'm gonna go home and do some peep wars with my girls.
Peep wars.
Yeah, you put toothpicks in each one, and then they'll expand, and whoever pops the other one first wins.
So, like, when the toothpick...
I don't know. I haven't done it in a while. I think that's how it works.
I always like CDs in the microwave. Have you ever done that?
No.
Best way to ruin a microwave.
Best way to ruin a microwave. Best way to ruin a CD. Don't do it unless you want to ruin the CD. But there's that really thin layer of metal on the CD. And so if you've ever like seen a fork or something metallic, it starts like arcing sparks and stuff all over the place. It starts from the center and it... like explodes like lightning throughout the entire layer of that metal film on the disc, and it just like it's the coolest 2 seconds of your life because it just and it
and
just
then
spreads
you need
out.
Microwave.
And then you need it in a microwave, and the disc is totally useless.
I put foil in the microwave on accident once. There's just like blue flames everywhere.
Well, but imagine that, but on a disc. Okay. And it's a little safer because there's not as much oil, but same.
We do not recommend you try this.
Yeah, go with the sweet and condensed marshmallow Rice Krispie treat.
Or go to a thrift store and buy a microwave and then do it.
Welcome to yet another Confessions of a Game Dev podcast. I'm Spencer Buchanan, and we have with us today... I did it this time!
Yeah, you did it
right! That's good.
I'm
nice
proud
work.
Of you.
Yay! It only took 4 times.
I'm Ashley with the marshmallows.
Thank you for sharing.
I seem to bring something random in here every time.
Yes, and it doesn't smell as bad as that one meal. It wasn't too bad, it was just really smelly.
Just strong.
It was just strong.
I either bring food or I bring giant hamsters.
Yes. No pun intended. Or
wait,
double
you're
intended.
The one making
or
it. Double like,
she just hugs the hamsters all.
Yes. I don't know why we're talking about hamsters.
On her lap.
Well, they're just making this dirty. Not my fault. I am innocent in all of this.
Yeah, yes. Right.
Anyway, someone says else is here too.
Says the one with a big hamster.
She likes to show off to everybody.
So who else is here today?
Karate's also here.
Yay!
If you couldn't tell from the comments. Oh gosh!
Oh, Ashley, are we beating up on you already?
I get this all the time. I should be used to it by now.
You should be. Maybe that doesn't. Just because it happens doesn't mean it's good. So. What? That was me trying to be sincere. Why are we laughing at that one?
Because it's still funny.
So, today...
When I learned everything can be turned into something dirty.
Yeah.
So, wait, are we going to talk about stuff, something else first?
I wanted to talk about the besties.
The besties?
Yes.
Okay.
So Karate's like, hey, you got to listen to the besties. It's a whole bunch of schmoes just like us that talk about games just like us.
On Polygon,
yes. A little bit more credibility than us. But what I loved is that their format was all of them had one bestie that they described for the week and then talked about it. And so I propose a suggestion. I suggest...
A few confessions.
A proposal. We're confessions of a Dame Dev.
First confession. We don't know how to say words.
No, Spencer doesn't know how to say words. I think
and we all must confess one thing during our podcast. Nothing about hamsters, but I
feel like this is an gamer anonymous.
Yeah.
My name is Ashley.
Hi, Ashley.
And I have a problem.
And then we'll just cut the podcast right there.
Yeah. You guys will never get to know my problem.
Yes. But apparently I think my confession is...
Now I'm addicted to marshmallows.
I can't talk.
First confession, Ben's can't talk.
But no, I've actually got a good one. Should we start off with my confession?
Rocking on. What is Spence's confession?
I finished and fully published a game that's in review on the iOS App Store.
Woohoo!
I'm super excited about that. I'm really excited about that. It's Ashley, I was thinking I'm the only one doing it. Ashley was the artist on the
part
team.
Of it.
She made like everything that you see in the game, basically. But yeah, we finally got that off, and it was a wonderful lesson in contract work and what to do and what not to do, and I learned a lot of what not to do's, unfortunately, but a lot of fun to figure out what it's like to work on a contract base with a client, and when your goals are not clear, they will hold on to you as long as they want to. And that's why this game that was done essentially in November is being published in April. But it's finally done. So that was very much of a fun project to work on and thing to do. So
I have to confess something now?
Yes.
Besides being addicted to marshmallows? Okay.
How about something game related? Does it have to be like a real confession? It could be... I confess.
Well, I could do something, but it might steal something from Brandon.
Oh, what?
About our game.
Go for it.
So I was going to say that, so our game initially, our thesis game, Race of the Zodiac, started out as a Kinect game, and we've been pushing to have it mobile for a while now, and we were able to make it functional and run at 30 frames per second on a phone in 3 days. That from it starting awesome. From a Kinect game. For PC.
What did you guys do? I mean, I know that you...
I resized every single one of the textures, and I have been reducing the size of almost every model in the game.
Really? So you had to do a lot of...
But I mean, like, there was a lot of performance stuff with scripts, too. Like, we had a script that was running, like, rotating coins, and now...
Get rid of them.
And that, like, really ate up performance, so I think I'm just going to do an animation of the coin rotating, which is what we should have done in the beginning, regardless. I didn't even think about that, but yeah.
So what was the tipping point? How come you guys were able to finally go mobile?
Because we can't publish it as a Kinect game.
We've been looking at a number of publishing groups trying to get it published, and people don't want to publish Kinect titles.
Yeah.
Because they don't like to work with peripherals. And so...
So the professors finally are like, hey... You guys should put your game on mobile.
And we're like, all right!
We got 2 weeks left. Let's go, guys!
Let's do it.
Yeah. So it's kind of crunchy.
It's been really interesting because it lit a really interesting fire. All of a sudden we had, like, because we've been kind of in a funk for a little while because we have our Kinect stuff, but it's just this bog of trying to get this published and trying to get it figured out has been a pain until finally it was like, you can publish on mobile. Yes!
Yeah. You really noticed it with our engineer. So this semester we only had one engineer this entire time and one artist. Like, everyone else was off doing awesome internships elsewhere.
Yeah.
Because they're awesome. But...
And he just took off.
But, he has been working nonstop the past few days on this because he's so excited about it. I was like, yeah! I was excited, too. I mean,
it's a great sign.
Resizing all the textures and stuff was not exactly the most fun, but it's gonna look cool.
I guess to add to that, we were in the same boat with our game being a Kinect game where you're falling, and we're starting to look at other avenues because, just like you, no one wanted to publish a Kinect game, and so we actually found and made a connection with Extreme Reality, which they're implementing skeleton mapping with a webcam, and they're actually able to do it without the Kinect. Altogether, so all of a sudden it's like, well, that's a lot more people that have webcams on laptops and PCs, so, you know, maybe they'll take that, and still no one really wants to touch this with a 10-foot pole. So it's put us in a similar funk, and just like you guys, I didn't realize how cool your development's been, but, like, all of a sudden we realized a lot of limitations that we had to do, because our character was mapped on your skeleton at all times. So if you raised your hands, his hands raised up. If you lowered them, you know, and so on. And we're like, well, we can't do that. If we're relying on a controller, if we're relying on a mobile device, anything other than a Kinect, we got to figure out some animations really fast. And so someone found, we happen to have all these Kinects lying around, so someone finds a motion capture system that you download the software and you hook up two Kinects and it does just very, very accurate motion Kinect.
Motion That's control. Cool.
So within a day, and we've been sitting on Unity 4, we've had Unity 4 just like you guys for a while, and within a day we're like, well, what do we do with all this mocap? And Unity 4 has a whole bunch of really cool animation stuff that you can do with it. And within, no, not even a day, half a day, we get mocap and we get all the animation sets that we need. And I was just talking with our lead tech, and he's like, I've got it all in, and it looks so amazing. He's like, this game finally looks really cool.
I'm excited to see it on TV. So yeah, I haven't seen anything.
No, I know, this all just happened over the last couple of days, and we're like, maybe this can work as a controller-based or a WASD-based, you know, keyboard game, as opposed to a falling game, which is really, you know, kind of depressing and hard, because we just cut the whole reason why we made the game, which was, how do we experience falling with motion controls and wind haptic feedback, and, you know, and we're still going to make it, but...
Well, and actually, I've been thinking about that, because part of our thesis has been, like, motion controls, and, yeah, and how that relates. And the fact is, it still works with Kinect.
Right.
And part of the development process in any of these things is, like, you get to the end of it, it's like, sometimes you can't... You know, you have these lofty ambitions, right? You have these grand ideas that you're going to put all these things in, and like sometimes you got to look at reality a little bit and say, "Hey, yes, that's a great idea. That's wonderful, and it's all these things. But what is reality? What can we accomplish? We have this much time left. We have this much resources, and these are the limitations we have.
Yeah,
it's creatively, you know, making it work. And so that's, I don't know. I find it rather interesting."
It's definitely an interesting final push that got really exhilarating. Yeah. And you know, honestly, the same thing happened with the toddler app that Ashley and I just finished. For a long time, we had sit on it, and we were like, we know it's 95% done. We need some extra audio from some third party that they promised they would get it to us. And as soon as we added that audio in, I was just like dreading. I'm like, this is going to suck. This is going to be another week or two of just crappy development of this game. I'm so done seeing it. As soon as I got the audio in, I'm like, oh my gosh, this game's fun. This game's really cool. You know, and it's just like something random has to happen at the end for you to just finally like actually appreciate your baby and be okay with it being ugly in certain spots, but realize that there is something special about it. You know, that's kind of neat.
Well, it's like, exciting. I mean, I was talking to Josh about the penny on the eye. I don't know if you've ever heard that.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
You know, the idea that's like, you're so close to it that you can't appreciate the, like, a penny doesn't look like much, you know, it's not really worth anything, but you look at the intricate detail on it and all these things, and you can't see all that intricate detail unless you pull back a little bit and look at it.
Yeah.
You know, and so, if it's right, your eye is so close to the penny, it's right on your eye, that you're like, oh, I don't understand what's so good about this thing, this is whatever, and you pull it back, finally you look at it, go, oh, I see all the... I see all the work that, like, I see the finished product, you know, the whole big picture.
But also see it in perspective of everything around you. Like, if the penny is all that you're able to see, all you're worried about is the penny.
True.
Where you go, oh, well, this penny's just, you know, in the grand scheme of things, or in this room, it's not that big of a deal. Someone else is holding it. It's sitting in a corner at the other side of the room. It's such a minor element that you're able to put it in better perspective.
Sure. Anyway.
Yeah. No, that's...
That's awesome.
Yay for you guys. That's good to hear.
I figured you could come up with anything. You're just like Mr. Idea Guy. So, I was like, that's what I've been working on.
We talked about Kinect, and there was a story this week about... it wasn't Bethesda. Who was it that was talking about their, like... You know, we're not sold on this.
Oh, it was EA. It was Battlefield 4.
Oh, Battlefield 4, that's right. And they're saying, oh, are you guys going to use voice? You're going to use Kinect? And they're like, yeah, it's a gimmick. We're not going to bother with it.
And that's the interesting thing, isn't it? Like, motion controls, they've been considered a gimmick for a long time. And you notice that, like, they haven't gained wide adoption.
Mm-hmm.
They were a toy that was Okay. Well, we make games are toys, sort of. You know, like, that's part of the whole idea. That's why the NES kind of saved the industry back in 1985, I think.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
And so, like, yeah, they're considered the same stuff. But the fact is, a gimmick is just something that's like, this is a new thing, try it. It's like, you know, QTEs, like QuickTime events.
Mm.
Yeah, they're a gimmick. You know, they're not, you don't make an entire game out of it. Heavy Rain. but it's a, you know, it's a gimmick, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, motion controls at the same time are, they're gimmicks. They just, we don't, we're not quite there yet. And I imagine someday we're going to get to a point where it's like, oh, motion controls, awesome. It's one to one and I'm really in the game. I'm immersed. But as of now, it feels like it's just an extra hassle for no real benefit.
Right. Well, and it's, I've been trying to equate this to other technologies that we get. So we get Rumble, and it seemed like Rumble just, like, it connected. People got it, right? They understood that haptic feedback. Certain controller schemes. I remember this N64 controller looked freaking weird as all get out. Yeah. But you put one in your hand after a couple seconds, you're like, okay, I get it. You know, when I initially played Halo, with two dual sticks. You know, I just thought this was the dumbest thing in the world. Give me back my GoldenEye, you know? And I just couldn't stand, I could not control my view whatsoever. And I hated it. And it was funny, I had my wife playing Borderlands 2 a couple weeks ago, and she ran into the same thing because she doesn't play those games. And I'm like, it's so natural for me. I don't get what's wrong with you, you know? And touch screens probably had that same issue. Like, people didn't get it until Fruit Ninja came. People didn't get it until, Half Brick Studios came out with a new game just 2 days ago. Find Our Fish Out of Water. Brilliant.
Is that the fish-skipping game?
Fish-skipping game.
Okay, Josh was showing me that.
Yes, and I showed it to him, and we even created our own league. It's EAE space MGS. You can join our league and get up in the rankings. It's really brilliant, you know, and it's actually, instead of going, we're so successful on Fruit Ninja, we're going to do the same dang thing. You remember Jetpack Joyride? Because you guys remember, you know, we're going to just write off that success. No, Jetpack Joyride was its own experience, completely unique. It was on the dawn of that endless scroller. And I, as soon as I saw this, I was tossing fish. I'm like, are you kidding me? Am I just going to be tossing these fish until they stop? And it's an endless tosser. No, it's not. It's completely... It's
endless tosser.
It's an endless tosser. sorry to our English folk. I think that's a bad word. It's not. It's its own entity. So there's a series of games getting distracted with touch that made it unique. And
mm-hmm.
and I think Vita still hasn't found it. Tearaway may get there. I think Tearaway will be it. But
the thing is, like, every system, and I think we've mentioned this before, but every system, in, no matter what it is, needs a killer app.
Yeah.
You need something that sells the experience for you. You need this because blank.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Fruit Ninja was for the touchscreen.
Fruit Ninja, Angry Birds.
Angry Birds was for the iPad, the larger touchscreen.
Right.
For some reason, Angry Birds really didn't set off until the iPad.
No, you're right.
Which I don't know why. I don't fully understand it.
But like, what it was. Once you did it, you understood. Okay, I need this because of this game, even though it's 99 cents. It's free.
Yeah.
You know, I think. Wasn't Angry Birds free?
They have, like, a free version.
Okay.
And it's 99 cents.
I've never paid for Angry Birds. It's never been one I'm like, oh, I wish I paid for that. But I mean, at the same time, like the Wii, the original Wii had Wii Sports.
Yeah.
You know, you had your bowl. I can do bowling. I can play table tennis.
Well, which
I can
is so do- silly. Like, just hearing that, I'm like, so?
Yeah.
But for some reason, you put it in your hand. You're like, oh, yeah.
For some reason, that's what it was. And that's, like, when we go to... That's actually one of the problems with the PS4 announcement. It didn't really have one of those apps. You know, it had a couple of interesting ideas.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't really have a, this is the reason you need to buy a PS4.
Yeah. Okay? And especially when... Blizzard comes up and is like, we're going to make this available on PS4 and PS3 because screw the next console. We don't care if you buy that one. Just buy our game.
But it's just, and so, like, I'm sure we'll have something later on, and when Xbox releases their thing later, I'm sure we'll have some more stuff as we get closer to a release. But it's just, it's interesting. Because, like, the Wii U right now doesn't have anything.
No.
It has no killer app. It has no, you need to buy this.
Yeah.
I need to experience this, you know, on this console.
How Pokemon?
The, The Vita.
I get it.
The Vita doesn't have that either. And that's the reason why they're not selling very well.
Right.
As soon as you have a killer app, you'll watch those sales go up. But until then.
Which.
And it's funny because 3DS. So, not 3DS. Nintendo announced Link to the Past 2, which is coming out.
Yes.
It's going to be awesome. It's on the 3DS.
What are you guys thinking? I don't know.
Well, it's definitely going to sell well, but it's not going to help your other hardware base.
Yeah.
So, why isn't there a Zelda title for Wii U? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, so...
you know, I don't... Why isn't there a launch title for Mario? I don't know.
Well, before we get to Karate's Confession, Killscreen Daily just had an article today about Nintendo and what the heck they're doing. And... someone made the comment, like, the majority of people that played 3DS, there that have a 3DS, wasn't born in 1992, so they had no clue what Link to the Past was. Mm-hmm. And I, like, that just, that notion kind of changed my perspective, like, who are they targeting? Because obviously it's a younger crowd than any other console.
Yeah.
Or any other company. And then there was one other quote that I read that said something about trying to figure out how to make games for these kids, but also make games for 30, you know, their parents, mm-hmm. and still satisfy both areas. And that's definitely a conundrum that they, I don't know if they put themselves in that box or they're set happy in that box, but it's definitely...
Nintendo's basic stuff are usually very engaging for any age.
Yeah.
Like they are. Like Mario Galaxy, very engaging for no matter how old you are. Mario Galaxy 2, even more so. You know, Zelda titles are the same way. Like, all these different games, except for the last one, which I didn't really like, but...
I'm not even very far into it. I never even got to the first temple.
Hey, did you know that you can swing the sword?
Yes? Dousing. Oh my god, dousing.
Are you dousing?
I could have a rant about the dousing. Would you like to douse? Please
shut
douse.
Up, you stupid
should probably
sword.
Douse here. You know, dousing is really good.
And we thought, hey, listen.
I know, that's a like, yeah. That was the only thing.
What's funny is Navi never bothered me.
I don't know where that damn sword.
I don't know what everyone talked about because Navi never bothered me.
It was just that she only said the one thing.
That's like everyone in every Zelda title, it's
a limitation of the hardware is all. Yeah. Like she just thought, hey, listen.
Well, and it was kind of fortunate because the only time that she popped up and hit dialogue was when you accidentally hit the button that activates Navi. And you're like, crap, I hit the wrong button. Totally did not mean to hit that.
Well, it's just, it's interesting because like Nintendo's, I don't think, in my opinion, has never really had a problem engaging all ages.
Yeah.
The problem is that, and we've touched on this before, but like the Wii abandoned the quote unquote hardcore demographic for the casual market. Mm-hmm. And now they're coming back with the Wii U going, no, we're hardcore again. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You've been left in the dust. All these new titles you're getting are ones that we've had for a year.
But Zombie U.
That's a game.
That's a game.
So that's, and it's mature. And it's a game that is on the Wii U.
It's a game that's really funny to watch Brandon play.
Oh, gosh. I get so frustrated with that game.
Loading.
Oh, gosh.
Loading.
Oh, no, there's 15 zombies behind me. Let me hit this door. Loading. The door is loading. The zombies aren't loading.
The zombies are right here.
I'm getting hit in the face, but my door won't open because it's not loaded yet. Oh my gosh, that design decision drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Ugh, so that's, but, yeah.
Is that your confession?
My confession?
Makes you nuts?
Oh gosh.
No, what is your confession?
My confession? I don't know. I wasn't prepared for this.
Oh, man.
That's why I asked if I could steal that one.
Oh, you totally could, but that's fine.
Confess that you read some good articles.
I'll do it in a confession. Right. I beat the Injustice campaign the first night that it came out. From midnight to 4 a.m.
You wonder why your body hates you.
I know. I was sick yesterday, and I was like, it's all going to catch up to me. I'm screwing myself up. But the thing is, like, there's... And I want to touch on this because it's interesting to me. There's something about gaming culture, gamers in general, and I'm talking more like the traditional definition of gamers as opposed to kind of our wider view, but there's a reason why we stay up. We go to a midnight launch, you know.
Okay.
There's a reason why it's like, oh, I totally beat the game in one sitting, you know. There's an obsession, you know, there's that fine line between obsession and dedication. But I think when it comes to gamers, tapping into that mindset of, this is so good, I need to keep playing it. I can't put it down.
Yeah.
You know? And that's when you, like, I was doing some research on gaming, not video games, but like gaming, like gambling.
Oh, okay.
Gambling addiction, that kind of thing. And there's a lot of connections there of finding the hook that lets you, makes you do, okay, just one more.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a lot of overlay between this. I haven't done any, you know, I'm sure there's research that I could look up, like, specific, but I don't know why. Exactly why I, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm going to play this all night. I love this thing. It's awesome. And it's not the first time I've done it either.
I bet there's easily a science.
I had to split it up into 2 days. I didn't have time.
Yeah. Well, and you're like, I could beat that game in 8 hours. You should be able to breeze through that. I'm like, I'll call you when I have 8 hours straight to go.
I didn't have eight hours straight to play it, but
even giving me 4 and 4 is sometimes unrealistic. You know?
But
more like 2 and 6.
But isn't that interesting that the game, but like we talked about gaming capital, you know, in our design courses about how Ash's reaction was, it's only an 8 hour game. You know, and that reaction is interesting because it's like, yeah, 8 hours is just such a low amount of time to spend on video games. Mm-hmm. What if you, can you imagine like saying that to somebody? It was only an 8 hour bike ride.
Yeah.
You know, it was only an 8 hour basketball game.
It was only an 8 hour cricket game, which is really short.
It was only an 8 hour movie. You know?
Yeah, and even for me, like I was actually talking with a guy at King.com today, the guys that do Candy Crush, and we were talking about how my wife hates video games, but she will play Candy Crush.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, whether she calls herself a gamer or not, she's playing the game. But, you know, and I, because I don't have ever an 8 hour block to myself, because I have kids and a wife.
Yeah.
And stresses that normal gamers, that's not fair.
That single gamers don't.
Single gamers don't. The people that are single don't. That, like, I go, you know what? I can get my jollies off of Candy Crush. I'll admittedly want to play Bioshock Infinite. Maybe one day I will, but it's really hard for me to be the guy that goes and gets it at midnight. And there's, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know. BT Dubs, last year, the graduation night when we went for the group that graduated before us, that night we all went to see Avengers.
Yeah.
And there was like 20 of us that went that night. Guess what's coming out? Graduation night this year.
I know.
Iron Man 3. We totally need to do it. You're
good. I'm going.
Sorry.
Brandon, you're ruining everything.
I'm sorry.
We'll do it without you.
Yeah, you should.
We won't remember you or commemorate your.
Because we're doing a breakfast, right?
It's a breakfast.
Okay.
Yeah, graduation, May 3rd, we're doing a breakfast.
Breakfast, graduation, engineering graduation, then whatever.
I'm not going to the engineering graduation.
Well, no, you're going to be in St. George.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's my confession. Also, Deathstroke is cheap as hell.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
You beat me so bad. Like, I'm really bad at fighting games, but I'm not that bad.
I played it online a couple of times yesterday. Just because I was like, oh, I'll just figure it out. Also, you have to get one ranked match in order to unlock the Sinestro or the yellow Green Lantern skin.
Oh.
It was just like, oh, okay. But I played online with Flash and Green Arrow kicked my ass. And I played online with Batman and someone else. Who was it? Who's the other one? I think it was Shazam kicked my ass. And so I was like, okay, Deathstroke. And I destroyed Superman. Like, it wasn't even close. Like, it just used to be...
Was that another smoked. Player that you played?
Yeah, it was all... Okay. I mean, they're all different players and obviously there's different skill levels and things. But it was just the distancing aspects of that character... Are just so powerful.
I need to get good at Green Arrow.
Yeah, Arrow is really good.
He's freaking hilarious.
When you understand his arrows, he's that's how the whole thing works.
And he has really sexy facial hair. I'll say this over again, but he is sexy with the facial hair.
Moving on to Aquaman.
Are you writing that down?
Yes. Green Arrow has sexy facial hair.
Okay.
Thank you for taking notes, Craddy. I actually thought Injustice was a really cool game, you know, when you brought it in and we played it together. And it's very much feels like Mortal Kombat. It's off the Mortal Kombat engine. But there's...
The women are very masculine.
It's Mortal Kombat.
Wonder Woman mostly.
It's a Mortal Kombat with a different feel. It's own unique thing.
Yeah.
You know, the background elements, being able to jump onto different things, and every character reacting differently.
Yeah, that's very neat.
That was cool, because, like, the number of times it's like, oh, I'm going to throw this car. You jump up, and it's like, oh, he jumped off the car. That's not what I wanted him to do.
Yeah.
And just now I'm right in the guy's face, and I get punched in the face.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, but the stages all doing these kind of different things is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you still have your kind of the X-ray moves. Super moves.
Yeah.
But the fatalities are gone. And then every character has their own, like, little super move gimmicks, and, like, not only their special moves, but, like, each one has their own, like, the Green Arrow's arrows.
Yeah.
Like, he can pull, like, I figured out how to use ice, electric, and fire arrows.
What? So there's different kind of arrows?
Yeah. Really? If you do
oh,
different,
man.
So circle will just do a regular arrow, but if you move the, like, do a half moon forward, he'll pull ice. He'll just, like, have an ice arrow, and he'll
that makes so much
charged.
More sense, because his arrows were just so lame by themselves. I get it now.
So you can still do the fast ones like that, but you can, like, charge up different arrows and have them ready.
I'm going to electrocute
you. Oh, weird.
And that's how they do so many cool things. It's really interesting. his is more complicated, whereas someone like Superman, he gets stronger.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, like, it lasts for a certain amount of time.
And, like, I think Aquaman is, like, a shield.
Yeah.
Like, it's water shield.
And, like, Grundy is, like, invincible for a little while. Not invincible, but, like, hits don't affect him.
Uh-huh.
Like, they just take damage, but they don't, like,
you can
knock
do some
him around.
Crazy combos with him, by the way. I watched one online, Grundy. And it was, like, throw, stomp your face, throw again, and it was
and
done.
That's one where he does his whole song.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Solomon Grundy, born on a Monday. But it's interesting because each character feels very unique and different. Like, there's some definite elements of Mortal Kombat in there. Batman's, like, grapple gun is very Scorpion-esque.
Oh,
you know, like, and there's other characters that have similar things. But, I mean, Shazam feels like Raiden,
mm-hmm.
but not exactly, which is unique. So, I don't know, it's a really, really good game. I'm sorry we talked about it for 20 minutes.
It was weird that Shazam goes, "Wiggle, wiggle, eye!" Just like Raiden. What's up with that?
Also, he's wearing a KKK hood.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow. Gosh. When Drew said that, I went, I can't, like, not think of that anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, that's terrible.
He's just wearing this, like, white. It's a
I don't
white
know why
cape.
He's wearing a hood.
Well, it's
anymore.
A white. Yeah, it's just a cape. Or, no, it's just a hood. It's not, like, it should be part of a cape, but it's not part of a cape.
Like,
it's
the old Shazam, it was, like, cape. It was kind of. Asymmetrical, so it was it was on the left shoulder and kind of went over the front, whereas it wasn't on the right shoulder, and so it was a little different, but I don't know, I guess they wanted to really differentiate him from whatever, but I don't know, the hood's interesting. So anyway, Injustice.
Injustice.
It was a fun game. Oh, and can I mention something else?
I don't know what else to talk about.
You guys, this is more for Ashley, but have you heard of Bethesda's new game?
Have they announced?
Yes.
There's a new game?
This morning.
Really?
The Evil Within. I watched the trailer. It's basically
a new survival horror game.
A horror game.
By the creator of the Resident Evil franchise.
And you gotta realize, this is Shinji Mikami, I think. Resident Evil.
Okay.
But it's Bethesda the publisher, not Bethesda the developer.
So no, it's not Bethesda the Skyrim dudes.
Yeah. It's an important distinction, okay, between the two, because, like, a lot of people get as confused, even, you know, when I read articles and stuff, Bethesda is two separate entities.
Yes.
And so this is by Bethesda,
the publisher. There's a ton of different things that they preside
over. So, okay, because I did see that Bethesda is, quote, done with Skyrim.
Yes. Bethesda, the developers.
The developers. They want to do something else.
Right.
But are they stuck in a contract with the other Bethesda?
Well, I don't know. I don't know exactly where all the tangling is in that, but I just know that, yeah. But anyway, The Evil Within, it's like, I watched the trailer. It's basically a live-action movie trailer. It's not a lot of, there's no gameplay in it.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's very horror-esque. It's got a lot of, like, saw and a lot of barbed wire.
I can sit here and yell, zombie!
Freaking zombie.
I should play it with you, Spencer.
What?
So you can freak out. Because it's funny.
Oh, yeah. If you want to see a Brandon cry, I'll guarantee you.
Oh, gosh.
So, hours of
they make me jump, but, like, I've never been scared by it.
Oh, I like, something inside my spine starts rattling, and I'm like, whoa, I hate this.
I just don't like gore horror for no reason.
That doesn't bother me either.
It's not a bother. It's just I don't enjoy it. Like, I can sit and watch it, but I'm not like, I am having a good time watching this. You know, I'm like, no, this is boring to
usually,
me.
Usually, if I watch gore horror, it's usually, like, funny. Like, Dead Alive. Dead Alive is a really funny gore.
What about movie? Toxic Avenger? Have you ever seen that? That's about as... I don't know a lot of horror.
I want to see
Oh, you guys don't know The Toxic Avenger? It was a terrible, terrible B-movie in the 80s. And this guy who's a complete nerd falls in a vat of toxic waste, and he turns into, like, this green, just absolutely ugly piece of... He looks like a green piece of poo. And for some reason, he goes back to all the jocks and the girls that made fun of him, but he ends up falling in love with this, you know, the classic ditzy blonde that's got way too big boobs for herself, but she's blind, and so she loves him anyways, because she doesn't know how ugly he is. But anyways, like, there's a scene where these guys are driving around, and they have literally a stamp on the side of their car that every time they run over a child, they stamp the side of their car. And so
that's so awful.
It's super terrible, and they hit a kid, and then they see the Avenger, the Toxic Avenger, and they jump out, and he jumps in their car and drives them off a cliff and kills them. You know, but it's like this, like, most random vindication.
I don't know why, but that reminds me of Hobo with a Shotgun.
Hobo with
yes.
a
Shotgun?
Yeah. That's kind of like the whole stamping the car by hitting children. Like, that reminds me of Hobo with a Shotgun.
But there's another part where he goes in and, like, kills a guy that's in a weight room.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's like a bench press where you pull it and there's a weight right behind you, but there's that big, large rod.
Mm-hmm.
And so he grabs the guy's head and pushes him farther in, and so the weights with that rod goes right through his face. And, like, it's just, like, really... just pointless B-movie horror.
If you want to see the most pointless amount of gore ever, watch Dead Alive. Also, no, it's Brain Dead, but I think it's Dead Alive Here. So this movie was directed by Peter Jackson before he did anything with Lord of the Rings, long before he did a lot of B-grade horror over in New Zealand. One of them was Dead Alive, and it's got, like, this half and half, like, people hate it or they love it. Like, either way, it's super ridiculous gory. Like, so much blood. It's a zombie film. But it's a comedy. It's hilarious at the same time. It is so, but it's definitely B-grade. Like, it did not have a budget. It was definitely B-grade. I don't know.
It's interesting. Peter Jackson and Sam Raimi. You know who Sam Raimi is, right?
Spider-Man. He did Spider-Man, but he did the original Evil Dead.
Oh, okay.
That's where he got his chops. And that's also where, you know, Bruce Campbell kind of comes from. So Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi have been friends for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were both in the film program in, like, New York, I want to say. I don't know. I forget. Back East. And that's how they've known each other forever, and that's why Bruce Campbell... Sam Raimi directed The Evil Dead, and that's where Bruce Campbell became Bruce Campbell.
So, like, in all the Spider-Mans, there's a cameo by Bruce Campbell in every single one of them.
And so...
However, Briscoe County Jr. was his best role. I'm just throwing that out there.
I liked him in I Am Bruce.
I want to see that one.
It's funny.
It's so funny.
It's
just Bruce Campbell being Bruce Campbell.
Well, it is, because it's, like, it's movies combined. It was the B-grade horror, like... Bruce Campbell just gets to be himself.
He's just like I'm just me. So funny.
He was in Waxwork too. Waxwork is an amazing B-grade horror film, by the way. Oh, random. Gosh. All right, like, we're not even talking about games
I'm not anymore. I'm not gonna go through this list. You want to look those up? You can look them up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Interested in horror? Just send an email and I will send a list.
Yes.
I know many.
She knows her stuff.
Oh goodness. I can't even come up with a segue for this one. Broken.
Would you give you a broken
Speaking
segue?
Speaking of gutting something.
That's nice. That's good. EA this week announced... oh my gosh. EA this week announced that Playfish is essentially dead.
Pretty much. Wasn't
Evil
leaving them
dead.
One thing.
SimSocial, SimCity Social, and Pet Society are all going to be canceled by June. The only games still around are going to be PopCap titles, Bejeweled Blitz, Solitaire Blitz, and Plants vs. Zombies Adventures, as well as a mobile game called... Hang on, sorry.
Not Monopoly.
It's the Madden one.
Huh?
It's the Madden iOS game.
Didn't even know there was one.
Yeah. Apparently it's doing all right. So it'll be around. But that's it. Oh, Madden NFL Social.
But EA is also doing Tapped Out, though. I guess that's not under this.
That's not Playfish, okay. Essentially. But basically, all the Playfish titles that are on their website are either announced to be canceled, or they're going to be canceled, or they are canceled.
Yeah.
So Playfish is essentially gone.
Yeah.
Which is rather interesting.
That's sad.
I don't know.
It kind of shows like what's going on with Facebook games right now, I guess.
Well, you remember a couple of years ago?
Social did really well.
It did. Like, that's the really interesting thing.
They had millions of people log on,
and all of a sudden... They had so many, but all of a sudden, it's just drop-off.
Yeah.
Well, I think if... Do you think it's a part of, like, a problem with depth? You know, like, these free-to-play games, I wonder about, like, are they deep enough to sustain an audience for that long? I mean, Farmville had a lot of stuff to it, okay? But I wonder, I mean, even Zynga's changing up their numbers, like, changing up their plans.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, exclusively free-to-play titles anymore. They're making some different stuff.
Well, I got a buddy in finance, and a guy that both of us knew, he's like, oh, I'm going to just sit there and trade stocks, and he showed him his plan of how he was going to trade all the stocks, and he's like, that'll work for about 2 years. But it's the same thing of kind of like real estate bubble bursting, and like, you can do this. You can flip houses. You can flip customers the way that they're doing at the scale of 20 million DAUs and all this crap. But in a long-term scale, it just won't sustain itself. It will implode, and I'm kind of wondering if we're seeing that, and especially if Zynga's like moving towards changing their game plan and making other types of games. You know, and as soon as this happened, I'm like, I gotta go see what the app data says on these. And Sims Social is at 5 million right now.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be at 50. It hit 50 at one point. And it's at 5 million monthlies. And it's 500,000 dailies. And that's sad.
That's sad in comparison.
It's sad in comparison, but it's also like goes, I think they made a good decision.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if it's obviously not gonna sustain itself. Why it did, I don't know. Like, I'm not sure I totally know why, but it obviously didn't. And I don't know.
Well, and that's why I found this other article interesting, talking about Mark Jacobs, who was talking about, he's from Mythic Entertainment, where Misha is working.
Yeah.
Is it bad? I thought of fashion right then. Mark Jacobs in the fashion world. Never mind.
sorry, I
have not watched Project Runway for a couple years now, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's not.
Sorry.
Okay. Michael Kors is on Project Runway.
Confessions. Never watched Project Runway. I happen to.
That's one of my confessions too.
Yes.
It's never been.
I watch it while I work because I can ignore 90% of it.
That sounds like it's great content to consume.
Well, I do the same thing with America's Next Top Model.
Definitely a show that you need to not watch.
I ignore 90% of it, watch the cool part, and then I go back to work. Like, it's, sure. I put cooking shows
so,
on.
So like Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
There goes our Dragon Ball Z audience. So anyway, but this is Mark Jacobs. He's a CEO, co-founder of Mythic, or former CEO and co-founder of Mythic. Essentially, he's talking about there's a free-to-play apocalypse coming, which is, you know, a little dramatic, but basically he goes, you know, these consequences in a few years will be a bit of an apocalypse. You're going to see a lot of developers shutting down. You're going to see a lot of publishers going, oh, yeah, maybe spending $20 million on a free-to-play game wasn't the best idea ever.
Yeah.
And so, like, it was interesting because we saw the same problem with subscription-based games, right?
Yeah.
You know, everyone wanted to be the next World of Warcraft, you know. And there's still some subscription-based games out, and they all went free-to-play. Tor went free-to-play. DCUO went free-to-play.
That's the Old Republic or whatever it was. What was it?
That's Tor.
The
Old Republic.
Dang it, I don't know all the lore.
The Old Republic,
it used to
DC
be
Universe
Tor,
Online.
But that's just weird.
Yeah, Tor just was it. but, like, all these games, like, we're all subscription, we're going to be the next WoW. There is no next WoW because that subscription-based model has kind of run its course.
Yeah.
And so it's not a big thing anymore. Everyone's like, I already have WoW. I don't need anything else. Yeah. So we're going to go free-to-play, which is different. Awesome! And everyone's going to free-to-play, and all of a sudden, it's just not there.
Well, it's...
You know?
Last year we had a guy make the statement, and I'm sure everyone's heard it. Consoles are dead.
Yes.
There's no more going to be consoles. And it's like such a finite statement about any part of this industry that makes no sense. Because as soon as something happens, you can't just jump ship and move to that and then make your success. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like,
you can be successful for a while.
You can.
It's not, but it's not sustainable.
No, and that's proven that
Zynga's,
you know, unless you're right.
No. That's something we've talked about before. Free to play. As far as free to play games, Riot does it right. I believe that because they're the only ones who do it this way, and I don't know why people aren't watching this more.
Yeah.
Okay. Riot, you don't pay anything for the game, and the entire game is handed to you.
Yeah.
The only thing you pay for are cosmetic changes. Okay. You pay for characters, which are available to you free if you take the time to do it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. But there's no advantages given to free players or given to paid players.
No, because runes you pay with.
You play runes with influence points. You pay for any character you want with influence points if you want.
Yeah.
Okay. The only thing that you have to pay for are cosmetic changes. Okay. Now, I've been playing DC Universe Online. Okay. Just kind of off and on when I get a chance. There are definite gates to the free-to-play players and then the premium players. Okay, there are definite gates in Tor.
Oh, there's huge gates in Tor.
To the free-to-play players and the game, you know, the actual players. That free-to-play model, where you're gating off content to people who aren't paying you, is the reason why these things are not succeeding. This is Genius Karate's, opinion, of course. But at the same time, the League succeeds because it doesn't gate off content.
Yeah.
It gates off content only to, if you want to pay for it, awesome. But if you just wait, you'll get it.
Yeah.
And we offer them free every week, and we're rotating all the time.
Right.
Yeah. You know, there's no, I mean, and the thing is, just buying a new character doesn't mean you're instantly good with that character. It doesn't mean that you're instantly benefiting from it.
Yeah.
In fact, it may be like, because there's several characters I purchased going, this guy looks cool. I'm terrible with him. Okay? You know, this Vladimir. What a waste of $5. Yeah. You know?
That's Vladimir.
You know, and so, And like, as opposed to you go online, I can buy a new pack of weaponry or a new pack of storage stuff.
Oh, Planet Side 2.
I can, yeah, exactly.
That's right. That game's about nothing but whoever has the biggest gun is the person with the biggest credit card.
Exactly.
Like, that game is all about just...
Yeah,
it was impossible to actually update anything when
You have to grind forever to get to a point where I can start upgrading.
Yeah.
You know, and because of that, the gameplay, I feel like the gameplay suffered. But, you know, obviously it's still doing pretty well, so what do I know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just...
But we all stopped playing it.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna reach a breaking point, right? Everyone's like, oh, MMO first-person shooter, that sounds really cool. Sony's backing it. PlanetSide, I know the IP. Sooner or later, sooner or later, people aren't going to tolerate it.
Well, the better question is, what's a better way?
Ooh, that's such a good question.
And that's something I don't know either.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and
it'll be interesting to see Bungie's MMR.
Well, I mean, because that one, I feel like it's going to be subscription-based. I feel like it. Either that is going to tie into the subscription you pay for the new consoles or something.
Yeah.
That's going to be linked.
I'm not sure what it is. You know what's funny is South Korea... Games out of South Korea figured this out long before with successful premium models.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when it got really weird is when we started using freemium models and we're just like, but we could make more money out of these people. You know, we could totally do this. And so we start gating them. Mm-hmm. But Nexon has an MMO called Maple Story that I played like 10 or 15 years ago. And it's still around. And it's so funny how the entire game is strictly cosmetic, literally hats and other clothes that you can buy. You can buy pets. The pets give you just a hair of an advantage, but it's never been argued whether they do. The closest thing they've ever had is you can get an XP boost. So you can actually double your XP for a day.
And that I'm fine with. You want to do that? Awesome.
And I've heard people argue that that's unfair. And, you know, you can make the same argument because there's that exact same booster that you can do in League.
Yeah. And the thing is, your XP, people, when it comes to a game, it's a poorly balanced game when XP is the only thing that matters.
Yeah. Okay? Sure.
Theoretically, a level 1 player in League should be able to beat a level 30 player in League if, like, I mean, just level-wise, it's not as imbalanced as it seems. Yes, it does contribute. You have your runes and you have your masteries and all these things laid out, but, like, there's nothing going, oh, there's no possible way you're going to kill that character. You know, it's possible. I've seen it. You know, I've seen these, like, low-level players kick the crap out of these high-level players. Why? Because they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay?
But level 30 is also, like, it was great when I got there, but after a while I'm like, oh, anyone can be level 30.
Yes.
I can play with idiots that are level 30 because,
oh, we have.
Because they bought XP boosts.
Yes.
Because there's a, like, the, I guess you could call it a gate, but it's a very successful gate that when I get level 30, I can play a much more serious league where I'm not just playing random games. I'm actually playing ranked.
And the ranked titles and
stuff.
Even then, it doesn't keep
like, no, and it does. No,
everyone has different skill levels regardless. Like, so I got to level 30 by playing against bots a lot. And that's a lot because you do not get this much. But that's because when I started League, I had no friends that played it. I started long before we all started playing here.
Right.
It was like a year before.
Right.
And it was just me by myself. I didn't know who to play with. I played normal games and people were awful. So I was like, I'm just going to play bot games. And I got to level 16 with bot games and that was it. I stopped playing. I was like, I have no friends on this until you all started playing. I was like, okay, guess I'll get back on this.
And that's, that's fine. I think that, like, you should be able to do that this kind of game. Jump into it. Fine. Right. You don't need friends to play. But I mean, obviously it's a group-based game. But you look at something, we were talking about Planetside. Mm-hmm. If you were to balance out Planetside, you make it so all the guns are unlockable only.
Unlockable per level? For what?
I don't know.
Like, wait,
you make it like you get points. You do it the League style, where you can unlock. You can buy the gun if you want, but every gun is available to you at the same level.
I see. Yeah.
You know, whatever. Any bit of skill, like anything you want to pay for, because like they have a point system. I went through the ideas of it. It's very long grinding and it takes forever. Okay. Whereas, and you're not getting better at the game because other players are better than you and they're kicking the crap out of you over and over again. These large-scale battles where, and it does a really poor job of explaining the game to you, too.
Which it does. I have no clue what happens with 3,000 players on one server.
Yeah. It's just, it doesn't do a very good job of that. But that's something else. But if you were to have kind of everybody starts flat at the exact same, I don't have to rank up in things, but I get it. Okay, I've earned a point. Put it wherever you want.
Yeah.
You know, put it wherever.
You want a shotgun? You get a shotgun.
Get a shotgun. Okay. This is, but like, everybody when max will get a certain, say, you get 100 points. Mm-hmm. Okay. Max level 100, he has 100 points. And he's put them in whatever he wanted, but you can't possibly get everything. You know, you have to balance the same way the masteries work in League. You know, I only have 30 points. I have to make sure I put them in the right places to help me. Either my early game or my late game or, you know, if I'm jungling or whatever. You know, if I have different roles in a shooter, awesome. I've put my points in certain things and whatever. There's a way to do it.
Yeah.
And then you can have your prices be all cosmetic and just go nuts.
Oh, yeah. I would love to have a pink gun or a camo gun.
Why? Because I can.
You know?
And I, at level one, I can have a pink gun. Why? Because I can.
I saw a commercial once where you can buy a fish. So you can buy cosmetic weapons, and it just overlays over whatever weapon you have. And one of the cosmetic weapons was a fish. And there's this commercial where it's two guys, you know, all live action, and there's two guys, and they both have these huge, like, big old trout or tuna in their hands, and they're just whacking each other on the side of the face. And someone comes over like, what are you doing? Why are you hitting each other with a fish? They're like, because we want to. And then it turns to the gameplay, and it shows them, you know, using a fish in game. And it's like, dude, you guys are freaking geniuses. I don't care who you are.
That's funny. That's exactly it. Because we talked about some of these, you know, if they released blank skin, I totally buy it.
Oh, my gosh.
If they released this, I totally buy it.
Yeah.
And why? Because there's something about a gaming, like, this is, again, gamer culture. There's something about, I will pay for silliness. I will pay for wackiness. I will pay for, you know, I was having this conversation with somebody.
No, I disagree. I don't think it's gamer culture. It's innate to have a connection to a society or a community. And it just happens to be gamers.
Yeah.
And it just happens to be this group.
Well, it's geeks in general, right?
I don't even think it's geeks. I think it's anyone. I want to feel like I'm a part of this community. I associate with this one character wearing this one skin because that feels like I'm a part of this. Like, I think it's just an innate human thing that you can say, I want to be a part of this, and I want to relate. I play this type of character. Oh, we know Ash. You were saying that morals guy. The guy that talked about morals in games.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which, man.
Andrew Weaver,
where he was giving you examples, and you're like, oh, I know exactly how Ash would play in that circumstance.
Yeah.
Because you, not because she's a gamer, but because you know her personality and you know her as a friend, that you can associate with her and you can see how she associates with that community or that environment. And it doesn't have to be games. It really doesn't. You know, I'll guarantee you if there was a costume with Darth Vader wearing, I'm just making things up here, but Darth Vader with a pink lightsaber, I totally would buy that costume any day of the week. If I was into cosplay or if I was into Halloween, which I think is the worst holiday in the world. But
I love Halloween.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, we need to talk. But no, I mean, whatever it is, if it's a community with cosplay, with its community of business guys, you know.
To be fair, okay, so neon lights on cars. Why?
Oh, yeah.
Because it is.
It's cool.
Why?
I don't think it is, fun. But someone does. Okay,
there was a time where it was like everyone had neon lights. I mean, Fast and Furious, there's a reason why that was a big deal.
Yeah.
You had, you know, you have the loud exhaust in cars, you know. Why? Because even if the car is a piece of junk, you put a loud exhaust and it sounds, oh, yeah, now I'm part of this group.
Right.
You know, I'm a tuner now, you know. And I think you're right. I think you do in general. But I think specifically when it comes to free-to-play games, gamers will pay out the nose to be unique. You know, not necessarily unique among everybody, but unique for them. It's like people love to express themselves, especially in games.
Oh, okay.
Okay. People love to go, yes, you have the normal, but I've got the Pulse Fire Ezreal that I paid $30 for.
Right.
Okay.
Which we wonder why you spent so much money on that, but.
I didn't. I bought it when it was cheap. The rest of you guys, like anyone else who bought it,
because I don't think I've ever seen you play Ezreal.
I played it in the summer for a little while just because I bought him. So I bought Ezreal with IP, and then I bought the skin for like $9.75, and then it boosted up to the $18.20 that it is now.
That's okay? So crazy for $30.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd never have bought it then, but I was like, this is a really cool thing, and I have to show you the skin because it's really.
I know the skin,
but it morphs.
When it hits, dance is my favorite.
It transforms into four different skins.
What?
It's like, yeah, like so it starts out a certain way, and when it hits a certain level.
It changes?
Yeah. A quarter of the way. It changes four different times.
Oh my god.
Well, it is like...
And that's when it reads...
Premiere... Not legend...
It's a legendary.
It is like the legendary skin.
It's the only one. And so like...
I'll trust you.
When you hit level 16, like he's fully armored. And when he walks, he flies.
Oh, you're kidding me. I've played other people with that skin.
Yeah. You have to watch it because it's a really cool skin.
I've only seen
skin.
His dance with that skin.
Yeah, with the hologram dance.
I don't know. He has the best dance in the game, in my personal opinion.
I guess.
Anyway, but like, so, I don't know. We didn't really come up with any solutions and things, but when it comes to just games in general, like, do a free to play and then offer. Like, look at Team Fortress.
Yeah.
Team Fortress has made a bundle. Oh, this game has been around for like 4 years almost. No, 3 years. I forget how long.
Yeah.
Okay, for a long time. And it's not like the gameplay's gotten like minor updates here and there and little things, but it's people are paying for hats.
Yeah.
You know? Why?
And hundreds of dollars
for a hat. Why? Because it's a hat.
Yeah.
Because I get to wear it, and then my guy, and I don't get to see it because it's a first person game, but other people see me wearing this hat. Okay? And it's for some reason that's important. Okay? Gamers will do that, and they love that. And like Valve has never gotten we really wish you to add more content. It's like, no. We want more hats.
Yeah.
You know, can you give us more hats? We want more hats. Okay.
Where's Half-Life 3?
People do that.
We got a couple more hats in TF2.
Halo, but people try to customize up the wazoo in Halo.
Yeah.
They work forever. Like, the first thing I unlocked in Halo Reach, I think it was when they started doing all that stuff, was the birthday grunt thing. When you die, because I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
It's which super really annoying because I die rather often.
Well, let me put it this way. If... Let's say Halo was a free game. Would you pay for that?
Probably.
Yeah.
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 Well, I don't care about especially if they made looks, but I would pay for.
Let's say they make
run.
Six different versions of it, one for each color of the rainbow. Another one is a rainbow one.
Yeah.
and the other one are fires in different colors.
Yeah.
Would you pay for those? Or you'd pay for a couple of them?
You know what's funny? I'm just thinking of GoldenEye, because like I played mm-hmm. the crap out of that game. All the cheats.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I would pay through the nose for Big Head mode and Paintball mode.
Yeah.
And Golden Gun mode. I would pay for those modes.
Yeah, well, that's why
would have paid for
I mean, you look at Injustice just announced their... Sorry, wrong Injustice again. But Injustice just announced their new DLC character is going to be coming out in a little while.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's going to be Lobo. I don't know if you guys know who that is.
No.
You know who that is?
Yeah.
Lobo, the main man. He's going to be in there. Okay. He's a DLC character.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Basically, he's a character. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. They're going to release the new costumes. Why? Because they're skins.
Well, is he going to have a different fighting style?
You know? Yeah. He's a new character, completely new. Okay. But it's the same way when we're looking at League and we're going to, oh, new character's coming out. Oh, because Lissandra's awesome. Look, she's got this little, abilities. Look at all these things. Look at her other skin. I don't know if I like that skin. I like that skin. I don't know. It was back and forth. Okay. Look at the new skin. Trundle just got rebuilt. Blah, 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 blah. You know, we do this. Why? Because we like, the look is important.
Yeah.
Okay. The aesthetic choices that are made in the game and the ones we get to make for ourselves are important, even if they're limited by the developers. You know, give it to us.
Here's what you just said. Hardcore gamers like doll making.
Yes.
Like dress up.
Oh, absolutely.
Like the two things that you probably would never be able to say.
I've told you.
They're totally.
I spent hours making Shepard look the way I wanted him to look.
Yeah.
Okay. I've told you, Shepard
and Mass Effect. You spent a while in the DC universe when I was over at your place.
I sat there. I tailored him all, and I keep changing him too. I'm like, oh, this is okay. I got a new vest. Let me color this out the way I want him. Yeah. Okay. This color here. What? But we do that.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's perfectly fine. It's not a bad thing.
No, it isn't. And I think that's what we need to realize. It's like,
yeah.
There's. You know, hardcore gamers frown on these Facebook games because it's these things that go, oh, that's just dumb. You're just dressmaking. Now, excuse me while I go paint my Forza 3 car for 4 hours.
I know.
You know, because a car is manly, my farm isn't, you know, whatever it is. And it's, and I think we need to realize that, I don't know. So Android Police, I want to mention just real quick, and then we probably should wrap this up, but Android Police is a website that I get for most of my Android
I follow news. That one.
Yeah, and they talked about, did you see the article where they talked about like three or four things that we're sick and tired of seeing on the mobile devices for games? And one of them was, we are sick and tired of these freemium games. And they get really ornery because they announce new games and they review games all the time. And when it's got a really bad freemium model, they tear it up a new one.
Good.
And everyone knows, and the biggest offenders in their eyes is EA. They're absolutely offended at the time gates that are in this latest, is it CSR? I can't remember if that's their game, but it's a racing game that EA just recently came out with.
I think it's CSR.
Oh, it's a free game if you want to pay $80,000, because there's just ridiculous time gates of anytime you want to race, you have to wait 10 more minutes or pay a premium.
Mm-hmm.
But Glue Mobile is one of the big offenders that they don't like. Gameville, Gameloft does it a little. But all of them basically, you imagine an RPG where you can play the game and you level up like you normally would. You earn cash and then you earn gems. The cash you can earn and you can grind for and you can, you know, relatively make a lot if you wanted to. The gems, there's no way to get them whatsoever other than in-game purchase.
Yeah.
And so the game's free, or sometimes the games are. Sometimes the games are a couple bucks on top of. And there's just things, like they're sitting there, Gun Bros is a cool one.
Oh, gosh.
And they're like, here's this really cool shotgun, or this really cool shotgun. This one's cash, this one's gems. Right? And for every cash item, there's a gem item to compensate for it. You know, and just like, look at what you're missing out on, look at what you're missing out on, look at what you're missing out on. Yeah. And it gets really tiresome, I think they get a little over obsessed about the freemium because they just say all freemium games are crap.
Yeah.
I think there's some that are successful in doing it but in terms of time gating and actually, I don't know, like the way the Glue does it and Gameville, I don't really agree with, because they're very much cheat codes, but the cheat, as opposed to just paying for one cheat code, you're paying for use of that cheat code once, and you have to keep coming back and paying for that cheat code over and over and over again. And I think that's where I get frustrated with freemium, is I can pay thousands of dollars if I want to satisfactorily play this game, mm-hmm. as opposed to give me the whole game. I'll pay you $20. Just give me the whole game the way you intended it, without all this stupid gating and with all this premium content.
Yeah.
And just let me play this flat fee. And there's a couple that I've seen do it, and the problem is that I've never seen them fully successful. Right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if they will be successful in the future.
Well, that comes
after that apocalyptic.
Well, that goes down to
like Angry Birds sort of does it. So I bought the original Angry Birds.
Uh huh.
And they always came out with updates that was all new content that you never had to pay for.
Right.
You already paid for the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and but, so they, always but they never really used premium. And no. I mean, they
yeah, you bought it and you bought it.
Yeah, right? But yeah, I mean that. But you know, my argument is I don't like that. But that's exactly what Riot does.
Not exactly.
Kind of. If you wanted to access all the content,
it's okay. This comes down to content. Aesthetic content versus actual game content.
Okay. Then, look at
Riot. It's interesting. Can you imagine if Riot said, "Well, you've been playing for you've played for three games. You have to wait 10 minutes to play another game."
Oh yeah.
Okay.
It'd be ridiculous.
It would never work, and you'd immediately lose your entire fan base. Instead, Riot understands. No, we want them to play the game
as much as possible.
Keep playing. You know, we want you to keep playing. Whatever. No problem. Okay. Punishing, and this is something that I one of the things, you know, we talked about how last week EA is the worst company in America, whatever, okay. I don't think they really are, but I think they're out of touch with, like, players as people, okay? Because when it comes to people, you don't want people to not play your game,
okay? Totally.
You don't want to go, hey, I was going to play it, but you're going to make me wait to play it, so I'm just not going to. You then take them out of it. I'm like, when it comes to League, I'm more willing to pay money because I spend so much time in this world, in this community, in this game. Therefore, I'm more willing to go, oh, I'm comfortable here. Here's $10.
I feel that my money is safe here.
Yeah. Well, not only money is safe here, but like, it feels worthwhile to me because it's such a part of my life.
Yeah.
You know, versus, oh, there's that online game that I played once. I'm never going to give money to it ever. Why? Because it doesn't want me there.
Yeah.
Okay.
When in Sims, Sim Social kind of felt like that.
Yeah.
Like, I loved peeing on people's bushes. I loved peeing in people's beds and, you know, whatever you could do.
So nasty.
You could urinate all over the place in that game. It was great. I loved it when they implemented the new feature of slapping. You go up to the other guy and you smack him in the face. It's like, what were they thinking when I'm doing it? But I can only do it like 4 times a day.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and it's like, oh, I want to do that some more. I really don't want to pay for it. And I was very patient with that game. I never spent a dollar in it.
I didn't know I was going to spend any money on that game.
Well, and obviously, you know, I guess the writing was on the wall or something. I don't know, but...
Well, can you imagine, like, we'll let you do whatever you want. Go for it. Everything is cosmetic. Okay? Play their game. Mm-hmm. You want this thing. Okay, yes, there are things you have to pay for. You have functional furniture. Okay? If you want to get more furniture, like, there's some definite locked-out pieces, but it doesn't block you from playing.
Yeah.
Okay? You want to play, basically, you're just playing The Sims online. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. I can just keep playing. I can play for as long as I want, whatever. And there is premium content that is locked behind money. You're going to pay, you pay us a dollar and you can have this.
Yeah.
Awesome. But we're not going to stop you from being in this world. Okay. Spend all the time you want on here.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a different approach.
It's very counterintuitive to a lot of,
free-to-play titles. Exactly. That's
not even platform related.
No. It's just the approach of looking at a consumer as a person, as an individual. I go back to Riot because they're most successful at this, but I treat you as a player. Mm-hmm. We respect you as a player. We want you here. We want you to be playing and then be involved and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As opposed to, we want your money. We like your money. We respect your money. You're ancillary to that.
If they listen to player feedback, like, so they've been doing a lot of lore changes, and I really don't care about the lore. I don't know. Like, I'll read it sometimes, but I don't know it all. You know more than I do.
Sure.
And, but there's been a lot of lore changes, and some people weren't happy about it, and, like, they would point it out some things that were definitively wrong. Like, this counters this one or whatever, and like they listened and they adjusted some of the lore for it. Some of them are stuck by their guns, which sometimes you have to do. You can't please everybody all the time. But I mean, like, they listen to what players are saying about things.
Yeah.
And, they're always looking for player feedback.
And that's the biggest thing, is community engagement is what's, you know, games as a service, because League is a service.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a game as a service. And so because of that, they listen to the people who they're servicing. Mm-hmm. They listen to their customers.
They're very good at it.
Okay, as opposed to not listening and looking at, like, I mean, I remember we talked, I don't remember where it was. I was in a lecture where we were talking about the numbers in the back end of all of mobile games and looking at the statistics of this many people are spending this much time and this much money and looking at it all under the numbers. Mm-hmm. And I think there's valid statistics there. You have to look at your numbers and say, why isn't this selling? Why isn't this selling? Okay. But that is results versus cause.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think, you know, when you're only looking at your results and go, I'm just going to tweak numbers to make sure that this sells more. Okay. And it comes down to, I'm going to look at people as numbers. You lose that personal connection with that makes a community work.
When we went to GDC, Karate and I were talking with the community manager that runs everything. He's hilariously, he was Italian.
I think he was Scottish.
No, I think he was Italian.
Italian? I forget his name. I'm sorry.
He was absolutely just hilarious. He had this funny accent, and I know he was Italian because I thought he was French.
Oh, that's
and
right.
He's like,
that's
I'm not French.
That's
and
right.
He got all of
that's right.
He got really offended, and we started talking about soccer for a bit and the headbutt incident. But we were like, how the heck are you guys managing all this? And he said he gave some experience where. They were talking, every now and then everyone's been dying for Riot to go on mobile or something. And I guess he was in some country and they asked him, he said, are you guys going mobile? And he said, we are considering all options. Like that was his phrase. And the newspaper headline was, Riot's going mobile! they totally just blew it out of the water. I'm like, how do you guys deal with that? Because, you know, other companies, they'll make one just big snafu on Twitter, on the company's Twitter account, and everyone just reams them, and the person gets fired and all this stuff. He's like, dude, we say the dumbest stuff all the time, and as long as we're transparent and open and we work with the community, which we do, you know, things always get resolved and no one ever gets, you know, really bent up about it.
Yeah.
And their way of dealing with the community is so amazing that you can make a grief, and if enough people back you on that grievance, they'll start, you know, considering it, and we'll see what they can do about it. And he's like, I don't get to tell the designers what to do, but I'll say, hey, there's over 50,000 people talking about this design issue. Maybe there's an issue that we need to consider, right?
Yeah.
And it's a very neat, organic way of, and I was, did I, was it me that asked, someone asked something about the, like, how do you maintain this? When do you get to a point where it's just out of control? There's no way you can control this. As far as I can tell, this scales with no matter how big our company is. That we'll be able to manage this community as long as we, you know, as long as the game gets bigger, then we're going to have more money to be able to maintain the community bigger, but we're always going to be able to, you know, it's more of the principle as opposed to the scale of, as long as you're transparent with your community, you're going to be much more successful with
it. Absolutely.
And it's kind of funny, EA, their attempts at transparency. I don't know if they're for good or bad yet, but
These games as a service model. That's kind of their big thing right now is pushing games as a service,
mm-hmm.
right? Who designed SimCity?
Sid Meier.
No. No. Not the original SimCity. Oh. Like this last SimCity.
Who
are the designers?
I don't know.
Who are the designers?
I don't know.
Okay. If I were to name off Morello, Ezreal, and Zillion, do you know who those people are?
Right.
Okay. Yes.
I met Morello.
Yeah.
At GDC.
I geeked out when I saw his shirt. I'm like, oh crap, that's Morello.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Now that's the difference between these two companies. You have Riot and you have EA. EA is a big corporate company. It's awesome. Okay. Great for them. That's good. Okay. The problem is they don't have a personal interaction. Okay. It's become a corporate connection. Okay. Which is unfortunately, that's not. I want to say that's not who gamers are, but that's not who people are. People like there's a reason why Google and Apple are the most trusted companies because they're trusted.
They feel like they're listening. Or
yeah, they say, hey, you know, can you change this? Okay, yeah. We'll look into that. We'll see if we'll see something about this.
So this Boston bombing was very atrocious this week, but within hours, absolutely, like amazingly, how quickly Google creates a website that allows you to connect with any person. And I didn't use it. I wanted to, but I didn't want to tie up the lines. But there was just two buttons on the website, and it was I'm trying to find someone, or I'm, you know, making sure that everyone knows that I'm here and I'm safe. Yeah. You know, and it was this amazing, like, Boston Connect or something that they called it. And it was just like, wow, you guys.
Immediate.
So amazing how fast you guys just came to the community. It's like, we're here to help too.
Yeah.
Tell us what we can do. Here, we'll make this website that allows everyone to connect so no one's worrying about anyone.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Can you imagine, okay, I can just imagine the Bing version of that site going, hey, if you pay a dollar, you can use this site.
Watch this ad.
You know?
Watch all these relevant
information. Yeah. You can use this site for 10 minutes, but then afterwards you have to wait.
Yeah.
It's the difference between people.
Games as a service. Here's the deal. There was a company here in Salt Lake called Totally Awesome Computers for a long time. Really famous, one for their terrible commercials that they were intentionally terrible. But they claimed to have lifetime service of the computer, not the person. And so as long as you had enough of the parts that recognizes this was purchased from here, we will service it, and we will run virus checks on it, and we'll make sure that the thing is running, and if it fails, we'll fix parts and all this stuff. And it was this, like, just outrageously huge warranty or guarantee on the product. And 10 years into the company, and it wasn't like an announcement, and there's going to be a 6-month period. It happened Friday night, and they said, get your crap out of our shop by Sunday night. And they had, like, 72 hours, they said, 3 days. And no one really knew except for on the news, and if your name was on your computer in the store being serviced. And
they canceled the program?
They canceled the whole, and there was, like, 10 to 12 offices all over in Salt Lake Valley, and they just announced, like, this place is going under. If you want your computer, come get it. It may or may not be serviced. We don't know. Just get it out of property. Otherwise, we're going to trash everything else. And, like, all of a sudden, the service disappeared. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, wait a minute. That's part of why I bought this computer from here, and I can't rely on this. Now I'm as good as having a Dell. Boom. Hey-o. That was a good scene, right?
I have a Dell.
No, and
I have an HP, actually.
We have a couple of Dells at home. They're pretty sad.
Yeah, and part of why you buy that company, or why you buy that product, is you go, I trust in Alienware, I trust in Dell, I trust in HP. You know, and people say, oh, get a Toshiba, but don't get, no, don't get a Compaq, get an HP. Compaqs are made by HP. Yeah. Like, that's so funny that people say this product is better because, and they're all products, but they're also services that are attached to those.
True.
And everyone's very service conscious in this generation. So,
PC laptops took over Totally Awesome.
They do
the same service now.
They do.
They have the lifetime warranty, but not on the laptops. It's only on the desktops.
Oh, really? But
I have a desktop.
But even desktops can be serviced. Laptops take a lot of specialized equipment.
Yeah. But even then, I doubt that they picked up all those customers. From that other company, right? I mean, like, what?
Seems like they're doing okay. They've been around for a while.
Well, they have, but you're ruining my argument here. My point. Stop it. when SimSocial dies, what happens to all that time and money invest in that product, right? And when Riot dies, if Riot dies, and League of Legends, like, we're not going to do this anymore. We're closing up shop because, I don't know. I can't imagine that. That just doesn't even sound reasonable. But a year ago, telling me that SimSocial is going to die didn't sound reasonable either. Right?
Well, think about this.
What do you do? Like, how do you deal with that?
Riot, let's say next year, League. I don't see Riot dying. They're doing too well. Okay. Because that's their entire business model, right?
Like, well, I know. But
let's say they announce a sequel. They're moving on. Okay. New game. Are you going to, and they, it's like none of your stuff carries over.
Okay.
Are you going to say, well, I want my money back? Probably not. I'm like, no, I've got what I got out of what I paid for.
Yeah.
You know, I got it. I feel justified in my purchases.
So, let's say that they close up shop tomorrow. We try to log in and League of Legends is not connected. And also we find out the entire company's been dissolved and the product is gone. Would you
shocked? Yes.
Shocked, yeah. But would you feel that you were cheated or that you want your money back. Do you?
I don't think so.
Because I didn't spend money on SimSocial, so I don't know how I should feel how those players feel that they spent all that money on.
When I purchase something in League, I use it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've used it then. I'm never going, well, I want to use this in 10 years, so let me put it aside.
I don't buy everything in League because I know that's a good investment for my children.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You know, I'm not.
Okay, that's fair understanding.
It's like you're buying a candy bar, you know? It's essentially what it is, because it's, you know, I'm buying candy. I don't expect to save that candy for a year. I expect it to last probably a day.
No, but see that, I mean, I don't even know if that works.
Minutes.
Because yeah. the difference, like, this is something that's really hard for us to, I think, grasp as a culture is product versus service. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we keep saying, oh, video games are a service, games is a service. Sometimes we're still treating it as a product.
Yeah.
Because a Snickers bar is a product no matter how you, a service, it's such an apples and oranges thing that it's really hard to even comprehend the difference sometimes.
If I pay for the internet for a month and I don't use it, what did I pay for?
You paid
for the opportunity.
For the opportunity to use it.
Okay, yeah. That's it. That's the difference between a service and a product, right? Like, fine line there.
So this is why I would be disgruntled if I was on Sims. I paid for currency in the game to use tools in that, as opposed to paying for opportunities to use that. Like, I don't think I would, like, I see what your point is, and that makes me go, I would totally be okay if I didn't use the internet and I lost that money. Mm-hmm. I would be okay if Riot did what, you know, can't disappear tomorrow. Because I paid for that opportunity.
Well, not only that, I think when it comes to the difference between SimSocial and like, say, League of Legends, mm-hmm. League can't exist without other people. There is no single-player game there. You can play bot games, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay? But that's not the game. That's not League of Legends.
That's not what makes it cool.
Okay? Okay? League of Legends is about playing with other people. Okay? Even in bot games, it's about playing with other people.
So is that the answer to free-to-play?
That's the difference, right? Because SimSocial, what can you do by yourself?
90% of the content.
Not really. Only if you pay for it.
Huh?
You have to go and get other people. Like, okay, I couldn't build my effing shower without getting
a
stupid
rubber
duck.
It's
from somebody else. It's like, would you give me a duck, please, so I can take a shower?
Yeah.
I'm like, what the crap? I can't take a shower because I can't build it. Yeah. All the tools are here. It's all here. Look, there's a shower sitting right there, but I can't use it because I don't have a rubber duck.
Because I don't have a box cutter. Someone else has to open the box
for me. Yeah, and that's just, I mean, that's the whole, whatever, SimSocial aspect of it, right? But, you know, I had a problem with that. But that game can't exist without other people.
Unless
it's designed that way.
You're paying money. The reason you pay money is so that you don't have to socialize.
Yeah.
Oh man, this makes me so sad about this game now.
Not really. That's a core element of the design, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like the core element of the design is like you need to go talk to other people. Otherwise, give us money so you can be a loner.
Yeah. Pee on your own damn bushes.
so that's just, I don't know. It's funny to me.
For $5 extra dollars, you can pee on your own bushes.
Anyway,
there's a good closing story that has to do with SimSocial we can end with because it's kind of funny.
Does it end with urinating on things?
No.
I don't know.
Toothpaste.
The toothpaste.
We talked about that at the very beginning.
Yeah, we did. Dang it. I don't remember us talking about
that. Was your confession.
Very beginning, right before the whatever we were talking about.
Oh, right. The toothpaste. That was our intro kind of joking thing.
Sorry.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
Ashley wasn't listening to the beginning of the podcast.
It was that long ago in the podcast.
We got to close this up. We've been going on too long.
I got to go write a thesis or something.
Yay, thesis.
I got to finish making
it. It's not like we're graduating in 2 weeks. We can totally just take an hour of our day.
Yeah, take a nap.
Oh, nap sounds really good.
Anyway.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
If you want to get a hold of us, which we'd love to hear from you, you can get a hold of us at... Where should I start first? Twitter.
At
GameDevConfess.
Email.
GameDevConfess@gmail.com.
Facebook.com/GameDevConfess. Or our website.
At www.GameDevConfess.com. Or, shameless plug, on your Windows 8 devices, look for the legal, or the Dev Confessed, the legal edges. I made that one too, so shut up. No, I made an app for Windows 8. It's super cool, and it's the Game Dev Confess fan app. Just do a search for Game Dev Confess, and it should pop up. And
we're also on Stitcher.
And we're on Stitcher. We're on Apple, which I totally didn't iTunes mark that one podcast explicit a couple of times.
Oh, no!
Something about that.
Totally in trouble.
That one little, like, five-year-old kid that's listening is like, Mommy, what does this mean? I understand about gender equality, but why are they using the F word? So, thank you for listening. I will mark things as explicit as needed as we continue on forward.
Oh, shoot.
And have a good day.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.